This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us in the Sciences of the Quran class. Today, inshallah, we will move to the creation of Adam alayhi salam. We will discuss his story and the ayat after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah says, and remember when your Lord said to the angels, verily I am going to place mankind generations after generations on earth. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story of the creation of Adam. This is the first ayah that we come across deals with one of the stories. And the stories of the Quran are unique. The stories of the Quran have special taste. One thing about the stories of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the things that will help you. Sometimes there are details not mentioned in the ayah for a reason. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to go beyond that. Allah mentioned to you the things that you will need to implement or to benefit or to reflect. So the stories of the Quran, they are mentioned for many reasons. One of them is to affirm and assure the heart of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many stories of previous prophets. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears these stories and sees that many prophets before him, they passed through the same thing, they had to go through what he had to go through, it will be easier. Also, it is for us to learn from these stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a story so we could learn from it and we could reflect on it and we could implement it in our life. There are many lessons for the stories. So this is the first story that we come across. It is the story of the creation of Adam alayhi salam. We Muslims, we believe that Adam alayhi salam is the first human being. Unlike what some people think about the Darwinism, the evolution theory, we don't believe in that. Why? Why we don't have any theory like that, or why don't we even accept it at all? What do you think? Couldn't the Darwinism be correct? That no. the human beings, they went through some evolution, they developed. No?
No.
Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so. And where? Where? Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so. Where? Where do you find in the Quran? Again, you will be held accountable for any word you say. You are? Yes. The first man. Where does it say he was the first man? Allah created him and Allah created all of us. We are not the first human beings. How do you prove that? Where? Where? Yeah, son of Adam. I'm the son of my father, but that does not mean my father does not have any fathers. This is true. Now, this is indication only. It implies that Adam alayhi salam is the first human being. Because we say, children of Adam, the son of Adam. But maybe people don't agree with that. You need solid evidence. Now, in the Quran, there is indication. Actually, it's not clear-cut that Adam alayhi salam was the first human being. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He's the one who created Adam, that means there is no one before Him. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mentioned Him. In the hadith, it is clear. It is clear. The Prophet ﷺ in the authentic hadith, when he mentioned the intercession, the shafa'ah, how people on the day of judgment, they will go to each prophet to intercede for them. First, where do they will go to? Adam alayhi salam. What will they tell him? They will tell him, you are the father of mankind. So he's the first human being. It is clear in the hadith. So Adam alayhi salam is the first human being. Now even those group of people, the few people that they say it was apes first and then humans transformed and so on, it's still theory. It's not a fact and it will never be a fact. So don't be deceived by what they say. They don't have any facts. We have the facts. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. Now again, I want you to read the ayah again. What do you understand from it? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create Adam alayhi salam. Was he asking the permission from the angels to create Adam? Yes or no? No. Why? Then why he told them, I am creating a human being? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the angels if he is not asking their permission? Just to inform them. What do you learn from that? You learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the angels, that the angels are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tell someone about something you want to do. If you don't care about someone, you will not tell him, because basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need to tell the angels, yet he told them. So this tells you the high rank of the angels, that they are noble creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that I am إِنِّي جَعْلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Khalifa in Arabic means successor. This is one of the meanings. Successor means someone comes after the previous one. He succeeded him, so he became the Khalifa. The Khalifa also is the ruler, the Caliph. In Arabic, Khalifa. What do we mean by that Khalifa? Like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is the Khalifa of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was first and then Abu Bakr came after him. So here in the ayah, the English translation gave one meaning, which is the correct meaning, because there are many meanings for Khalifa. One of the meanings, scholars said, like the human beings, they are the deputies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. But is this appropriate or not? Is the man Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth? Some scholars said that's not the meaning. The meaning is what you have in the translation. Generations after generations means one generation comes and then the next generation comes, so they are succeeding each other. That's the meaning of Khalifa. So in English you will not have the issue because they translated it, but in Arabic the word Khalifa, it has several meanings. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels. They said, now look at their response. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Will you place therein those who will make mischief therein and shed blood, while we glorify you with praises and thanks and sanctify you? قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He said, I know that which you do not know. Now, we just said that Adam alayhi salam is the first human being. Yet the angels are telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will you place therein those who will make mischief? Adam alayhi salam was not created yet. How the angels expected that Adam or the generations, the children of Adam, they will make mischief? Did they know the unseen? No? How? Because of the jinn that roam the earth. This is one possibility, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed creation before human beings on earth, which are the jinn. And what did they do? They created mischief. They were corrupted on earth. They shed blood. So because of that, the angels felt that the same thing will happen to human beings. So do you say that this question from the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is objection? They are objecting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them? Or what? Read the ayah, tell me. I need an answer. What do you think? The angels are refusing this thing or what?
They're making a suggestion.
They are making a suggestion. What's the suggestion they are making? Don't do it. Can they? Do they dare to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
No.
No. So what? It is a question of clarification. They are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know why. Because you learn from this the mercy of the angels, the respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they don't want anything wrong. They don't want any creation that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this proves the nobility of the angels. And what was the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Now, the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. And he taught Adam all the names of everything. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. What are these names? What are these names? Scholars differed. But from the ayah we understand that the names of all things mean all things, even the things that we have right now, which were not before us. It's included in this ayah. So even this device, you could say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught it to Adam. He taught it everything that he needs to know. All the names of everything. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Then he showed them to the angels and said, tell me the names of these, if you are truthful. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Now the angels, they had a question. They had a concern that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings on earth, they will make mischief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach them the lesson. He taught Adam alayhi salam the names of everything. And he asked the angels, didn't Allah know that the angels does not know these names? Allah knows that they don't know these names. Or they know. Do they know? They don't know the names. Then why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them? To create respect for Adam. So is it permissible to ask someone something that you know for sure he doesn't know the answer? In some cases, yes. Scholars derive this ruling from this ayah. And sometimes you could ask a question that you know for sure, the one that you are asking will not know the answer, just like in this case. Why? For other reasons. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show, to prove to the angels that he knows what they don't know. So when he asked them about these names, they did not know the answer. Then Allah told Adam to tell them these names. So what happened after Adam alayhi salam told them these names? Or before that, they said, glory is to you. We have no knowledge except what you have taught us. Verily you are the knower, the wise. Now, when he asked them, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels and they admitted their shortcomings, what did they say? Glory is to you. You learn the respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels are very respectful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They admitted their shortcomings. So whenever you don't know the answer, don't become arrogant. Admit that you don't know. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam, oh Adam, inform them of their names. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And when he informed them of their names, he said, did I not tell you that I know the ghaib, the unseen, in the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you have been concealing? Here, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach the angels that he knows that which they don't know. He could tell them simply, and that's what happened. He told them, I know what you don't know. But he proved it to them. How? He created Adam, and he taught him the names of the things. Then he asked the angels about these names. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam these names, and he told him right away to go and teach the angels may not be impressed that much. But once the angels admitted that they don't know these names, and Adam alayhi salam knew these names, that will make it more impressive. Now we have similar story to this, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. One of the lessons that we learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and it will come to us inshallah later, maybe next year. When the king saw the dream, and no one could interpret this dream, everybody admitted his shortcoming. Then Yusuf alayhi salam was able to interpret that dream. That was more impressive. And everybody admitted that Yusuf alayhi salam had more knowledge than them. Nowadays, if you tell someone a piece of information, they will say, yeah, we know it. But when you ask everybody and everybody tells you we don't know, and then you tell them, it will be more impressive. That's what happened here, exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam, then he asked the angels, they admitted that they don't know, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam to tell them, and he told them. Now they knew that Adam alayhi salam has something extra, something that they don't have. Yeah, you learn from this how you receive the knowledge. Yeah, yeah, you could learn this, of course. One of the things that, even if you are a righteous person, that does not mean by only your piety you will learn. You have to take the means to learn. And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam. And they prostrated except Iblis. What happened after that? When the angels knew that Adam alayhi salam knows things they don't know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate themselves to Adam. Why? Is this prostration of worship, to worship Adam alayhi salam? Respect. It's not worship. And it was known before it became forbidden, just like even in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, his parents, his brothers, they prostrated themselves to him. That was their salutation. But then it became forbidden. So this is the same thing. The prostration is respect. Now who's better? This is the question. Who's better? Adam alayhi salam and his children or the angels?
To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Adam alayhi salam. And his children, the children of Adam. Who's better? The children of Adam. The Zionist George Bush, and they are better than the angels?
Yes, because they have the knowledge.
So they are better than the angels.
In ideology, they should supposed to be, because they have the choice for better.
Who is better? My question is clear. The angels or the human beings?
Better than one.
In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Many Adam.
The children of Adam. So those who make mischief, those who kill innocent people, those who are corrupt, they are better than the angels.
To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
they are better.
He loves them more than...
That's why they will end up in hellfire?
Well, they walk into hellfire. That's their choice. But they have a choice to go to paradise, a choice to pray or not.
Do you have any support from any evidence or any scholar? Because this is the first time we have.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Bani Adam. And
yeah.
Everything else to serve him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named himself two names for the love of Bani Adam. He didn't do that for the angels.
Yeah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also created the angels.
Yes.
And he praised the angels.
True.
Yes.
Only believing humans are better than the angels.
That's correct. But again, what's the evidence also? Because you may find someone tells you, even the criminal, the worst human being, he's better than the angels.
Well, no.
that was my question, and you said yes.
Okay, I will drop.
Okay. So we have agreement, inshallah. So the believing human beings, they are better than the angels. Now why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate themselves to Adam? Now we said this type of prostration is not ibadah, it's only tahiyya. It's greeting, type of greeting. Why? Why? Why didn't Allah ask Adam to greet the angels?
Because they couldn't tell the names.
Because they couldn't tell the names. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? It shows you the significance of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred human beings with knowledge. You want to become noble in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the knowledge. And we mean by the knowledge, the useful knowledge. The knowledge that will bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels to prostrate themselves, they did, except for Iblis. He refused and was proud and was one of the disbelievers. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ What do you learn from this? Was Iblis of the angels?
Is Iblis one of the angels? No?
He's very close.
What do you mean very close?
He
half
with
half
them.
Jinn, half...
He was with them.
He was with them?
Friends, I don't know.
You don't know?
He
do you know?
He was very close friend.
Very close friend. That's good. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. This is in Surah Al-Kahf. Yeah.
That Iblis was from
Al-Jinn. Iblis was from Al-Jinn. So, is he from the angels?
He was from the jinn and elevated to the angels.
He was from the jinn and then elevated to the
because
angels.
He was in heaven with
them. Yeah. But he became angel?
No, he didn't.
So, he's not angel.
No.
Okay, that's what I'm waiting. Yes. Allah says, yes. He was raised to the status of the angels because of his goodness. But his creation, he is not from the jinn, from the angels. Well, actually, some scholars said he is from the angels. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. He said, even this ayah of Surah Al-Kahf, إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ, he was from the tribe of the angels called Al-Jinn. Okay? There are two opinions. But many scholars, they said he is from the angels. He is not from the jinn. Many scholars said he is from the jinn. He is not from the angels. Even this ayah, they say even this ayah is not an evidence that he is from the angels. Now in general, when you read this ayah, Allah commanded the angels. So why he mentioned Iblis if he is not from them? Yet you could do that. Linguistically, you could do that. You could say all the students came but the teacher. The teacher is not a student, yet you could say that. So it is possible that Allah commanded the angels to prostrate themselves and Iblis did not prostrate himself. That does not mean he is from the angels, he is from the jinn, but because he was with them also. So again, it's your job. I want you to go and research, see what scholars said about Iblis. Is he from the jinn or he is from the angel? Now in another ayah, it clearly says that you created him from clay, and you created me from
fire.
Who were created from fire? The angels or the jinn? The jinn. But the angels are created from what? From light. So this also tells you that he should not be from the angels. He should be from the jinn. They say Iblis is the father, he is the father of the jinn. Just like Adam alayhi salam, he is the father of human beings. Iblis, he is the father of the jinn. When the jinn made corruption on earth, he fought with the angels and then he was elevated to heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what Iblis will do. So he wanted to prove to the angels that he is not one of them, that he does not deserve to be with them. There are many stories, especially in Tafsir ibn Kathir or Qurtubi or At-Tabari in particular also. There are many stories from the children of Israel. We don't know their authenticity, but you could read what they said about Iblis and how he came to become one of the, or in the rank of the angels. So he rejected. Why he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Arrogance,
exactly, because of the arrogance. This is the first sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was disobeyed with. So it was not shirk, it was arrogance. Iblis arrogantly rejected and refused to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beware, avoid being arrogant. Now Iblis had the knowledge and he saw everything, yet he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowledge by itself may not help you. You have to submit this knowledge to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes?
There is a story about Iblis and Adam alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the affinity, that's why. That Iblis, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the body of Adam from some salt,
yeah,
and lifted, lying down, Iblis passed by it and knocked on it.
Yeah.
Before even Adam was created alayhi salam, and found it hollow. And when he found it hollow, he told him, "Law subitta alayya la'asiyannaka, wa law subitta alayka la'aghwiyannaka." before even Adam was created.
Yeah, this story is mentioned in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created Adam from clay, before he blows the spirit in his body, Iblis came and he touched and he knocked on the body. And he saw that it is hollow and there is a sound inside. So this story is mentioned in Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. And we said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the paradise. وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة and eat both of you freely with pleasure and delight of things therein wherever you will. But come not near this tree or you both will be of the wrongdoers. ولا تقرب هذه الشجرة فتكون من الظالمين. Now, which paradise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about? The same paradise that we will be in, inshallah? Is it the same one or different one?
It's the same paradise, it's only one.
It's only one. What if it's another paradise? Because if it's the same paradise, how Iblis was able to entice Adam to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How Iblis was able to deceive Adam alayhi salam? Arshia says it's the same. What about other students? We need their interaction. Well, Allah, when He said Al-Jannah, the paradise, it means only the paradise that we know. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ الْعَهْدِيَّةِ Al means the one that you know, the paradise. But come not near this tree. What's this tree? What was the tree?
Apple.
Are you sure it's apple? It's not the grape? Well, let me tell you this. Did Allah specify it? No. Why you specify it then? What will that help you with if you knew it is apple tree, it is orange, it is whatever? Again, that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes leaves the details, because there is no benefit.
Yeah, many of the students online said that we don't know.
Yes, very good. Yes, exactly. We don't know what type of tree is it. Yeah. But we don't know. Allahu alam. We cannot say it's true or it's false. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Adam alayhi salam to enjoy. And this gives you an idea about the enjoyment will be in paradise, inshallah, that you eat freely everything and you'll have happy moments there. Only one thing you should avoid, which is this tree. Then the shaitan made them slip therefrom and got them out from that in which they were. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ أَزَلَّهُمَا, this is the qira'ah, the recitation that we read. There is another recitation, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا. Then the shaitan made them slip. In the other recitation, then the shaitan removed them from that which they were in. Removed and slip. Both, we have two qira'at. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا فَأَزَلَّهُمَا. And again, it's very close. It is very close. And this is again one of the beauty things about the qira'at. It's the same word, but different pronunciation, and it gives you similar meaning. We said, get you down all with enmity between yourselves. On earth will be a dwelling place for you and an enjoyment for a time. What do you learn from this ayah? وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. You have enjoyment for a time. For a time means it is very short time. All this life, it is very short time. Eternity will be in the hereafter, whether in paradise or in hell. Also here on earth will be a dwelling place for you with enmity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created enmity within the human beings. So we have to avoid it. That does not mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this, but it is a test. This shows you the difference between paradise and the earth. It's two different things. In paradise, you have happiness, you have joy. Here, in this life, you have enmity, you may have enjoyment, but for a time only. So this is a reminder that you should always look for paradise. You should work always for paradise. No matter how much you work for this life, it is temporary. One interesting thing here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that Adam alayhi salam disobeyed Allah once. And because of that sin, Adam alayhi salam was caused to go down. He was sent down to earth. And we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala several times a day, yet we still think that we guarantee paradise for us. If Adam alayhi salam only with one sin, he deserved to be sent down to the earth. What about our sins? So try to avoid sinning. Try to avoid disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Adam received from his Lord words. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٌ. And the other recitation, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمَ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٌ. And his Lord pardoned him. Verily, he is the one who forgives, the most merciful. Again, it shows you the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Adam alayhi salam disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Adam received words from his Lord and Allah forgave him. What are these words? What are these words? Is it mentioned here in this ayah? قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Very good. It is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf. So this is again how the Quran interprets itself. What are these words? They are not mentioned here. But in another ayah, Allah mentioned the same story with the words. So you know that these are the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. In Surah Al-A'raf, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It was said that Adam alayhi salam, when he was sent to the earth, he did not raise his head for 40 years because he felt that he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he wept for a long time until he asked for the forgiveness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Now who taught Adam these words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again you learn the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you disobeyed me, I will teach you how you will get the forgiveness. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Get down, all of you, from this place. Then, whenever there come to you guidance from me, and whoever follows my guidance, there shall be no fear on them, nor shall they grieve. This is glad tidings for the believers, that they will receive guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? How you receive guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This ayah tells you what? It's talking about what here? Wahi, revelation. Through? Whenever there comes to you guidance from me, how the guidance come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us? How it came? Through the prophets. Prophets, Allah sends the angels to the prophets, so they give us the guidance. So it shows you the mission of the messengers, to show us the guidance. And what will happen to you if you follow this guidance? There is no grief, no fear. If you wanted security, the real security, it is by following the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who disbelieve and belie our ayat, such are the dwellers of the fire. They shall abide therein forever. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. See always the balance. Reward, punishment. Threat, glad tidings. So if you follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no fear. You will not grieve. On the other hand, if you disbelieve, you'll deserve to be in hellfire. Now, we are moving to another story. That was the story of Adam alayhi salam, and it came in several places in the Quran. Now we're moving to the children of Israel. Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you, and fulfill my covenant so that I fulfill your covenant, and fear me and me alone. Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت علي وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم وإيايا فارهبون. Who are the children of Israel? Who's Israel? Yaqub. Do you have an evidence? What's the meaning of Israel? Do you know? It's just like Abdullah in Arabic, the slave of Allah. That's the meaning of Israel. So the children of Israel are the offsprings of Ya'qub alayhi salam. Why Ya'qub alayhi salam is mentioned? Why they are called the children of Ya'qub alayhi salam? Why they were not reminded with their grandfather, Ibrahim, or Ishaq? They said that Ya'qub alayhi salam was very dear to them. They loved him a lot. So what do you learn from this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the children of Israel, O children of Israel, Ya Bani Israel. When you want someone to respond to you, you call him with a good name, with the name that he loves. If you have a kid, what do you tell him? Do you tell him a name that he doesn't like? Oh, young boy, or you tell him, big kid, you tell him something that he likes, you encourage him. So the same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the children of Israel, because he wants them to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. Yes, at that time, at the time, they were in glory. They were in success. That's true also. So, remember my favor. What was the favor? What was the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bestowed upon Bani Israel? What was the favor?
Saving them from
Fir'aun and his people. That's it? That's one of the favors. There are many favors. وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوَ الْعَذَابِ وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ. And it is coming. It is coming in the surah. All these favors are mentioned. So we know that there are many favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the children of Israel. So he, again, this is another style. When you want someone to respond to you, you may remind him with things that it will push him to do what you want him to do for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them. First, he called them with the name that they love. Then he reminded them with the favors. And then he asked them, fulfill my covenant. What's the covenant? What's the covenant that was taken from the children of Israel? Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where do you find it? John, what's the covenant? This is for all mankind, worship Allah, but for the children of Israel in particular. There were many covenants, and again, it is coming with us, inshallah, later on. And fear me and me alone. You should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. And believe in what I have sent down, confirming that which is with you. What is it? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, confirming that which they have? Believe in what I have sent down. The messengers?
Quran.
The messengers were sent down. The Quran? Confirming that which is with you. what? Ayan says At-Tawrah. So Allah is asking them to believe in At-Tawrah. Confirming what? If it's At-Tawrah, then it confirms what? It confirms the Quran. So the Torah came after the Quran, because something confirms the thing that came already. It's the opposite, exactly. Allah is telling them, believe in what I have sent down. Believe in the Quran, confirming the Torah. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them. So this is an evidence that the Quran confirms what came in the Torah. And be not the first to disbelieve therein. وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. And buy not with my verses a small price. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Again, Allah is reminding them, even if you took millions for concealing the truth, it's nothing. It's only small price compared to the punishment or the reward in the hereafter. What's the use if you take millions and you will end up in hellfire? These millions will be only for a short time. For 40, 50, 60 years, and then hellfire for eternity, that means you are a loser. You did not get anything. So whatever you get, if you conceal the truth, it is a small price. And have righteousness of me and me alone. Again, me and me alone. This is another reminder that fear people not. Do not fear people. Do not forget that you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And mix not truth with falsehood, nor conceal the truth while you know. And perform prayer and give zakah, and bow down along with raki'in. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, mix not truth with falsehood. This tells you, even if you know some of the truth, that's not enough. If you mix it with falsehood, if you say, I will pray one time and the second time I will not pray, if I will obey and then I will sin, you have to be pure always. You don't mix truth with falsehood, nor conceal the truth while you know. Does that mean if you don't know you are able to conceal the truth? You are allowed to conceal the truth? Is that what you understand from the ayah? If you don't know, you could conceal the truth. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ.
وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. I don't know if he means وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, that you know that you're concealing.
While you know, it means that you know the truth. So do not conceal it because you know. Okay. So it is more horrible when you know something and you conceal it. Now that does not mean if you don't know it, you can conceal it. But this is to show that they are committing a grave sin when they know and they conceal the truth. So it's a reminder that you already know. Do not conceal the truth. And perform prayer. Now we already know that the prayer was mandated on the second year of Hijrah. Were the children of Israel commanded to pray? Were they commanded to pray? Yeah, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ.
Is it Salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet Muhammad?
That's my question. Is it the same Salah? Is it different? Were they commanded to pray?
It is told that
and give zakah.
Children of Israel, they were at the time of Israel, they were required to pray in the masajids.
Mm-hmm.
Only they could not make the whole earth as their masajids. Because that mm-hmm. implies that they had to pray.
They had to pray. Yes, they had to pray, but it may not be the same prayer that we pray. Because in Surah Hud, وَجَعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ, it's clear that they used to pray. And they used to pray in their houses. Yes, they prayed according to the Sharia of their Prophet, according to what Musa alayhi salam commanded them. The same thing with zakah. It does not mean necessarily it was 2.5%. But they had to pay something and bow down along with al-raki'in. This shows you that it's most likely the same prayer that we pray, they bow down also, they do ruku', but maybe it was not 5 times a day, maybe it was not 4 rak'ah, Allahu alam, but they had prayer, and they had to pray. Enjoin you al-bir on the people, and you forget yourselves. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. While you recite the scripture, have you then no sense? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. What's al-bir? Al-bir here, every act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know that it is every act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where can we find the definition of al-bir in the Quran? It is mentioned in the same surah, in Surah Al-Baqarah. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى. All these characteristics are part of the birr. So it is every act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's al-birr. Again, when you read al-birr, what's al-birr? You find in another ayah, Allah is telling you al-birr is not so and so, but rather it is so and so. So Allah is telling you what's al-birr. So what happened here? The people of book, they used to enjoin al-birr on the people. How? Could you give me an example? How the children of Israel used to enjoin al-birr on people and they forgot themselves while they used to recite the scripture. How this happened? What does the ayah mean here? Shirk? They commanded people to worship Allah alone and they committed shirk? Yes or no? What? What do you think? That's a good answer. How this happened? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to whom in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to whom? The Jews. At what time? Enjoin you al-birr. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ. What did the Jews at the time of the Prophet ﷺ do?
They used to cheat a lot.
They used to cheat a lot? That's what they used to do?
Well, before the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, he told everybody that there is a Prophet coming and we're waiting for him.
Exactly, that's it. Before the time of the Messenger ﷺ, before the advent of Islam, they used to tell the people that there is a Prophet coming and we will be the first believers. That's al-birr. When the Prophet ﷺ came, they did not believe in him. So Allah is reminding them, you used to enjoin al-birr, and you forgot yourselves, and you read the scripture. Don't you have minds? Don't you have sense?
But they said they were interested in, they were in the favorite of the message, but against the man. But the Arabs were the favorite in the man, but against the message.
Yes. So again, we learn from this one important thing. Enjoining al-birr only is not enough. It is a duty. Even if you are not doing the good thing, you have to tell people to do it. It's not enough. You have to do it yourself. It's one of the worst sins that you ask people to do something and you go behind them and you do the opposite thing. That's the case with the children of Israel. Not only with them, but even with the Muslims. When you tell people to do something that you are not doing it. The messengers, they used to tell the people that we will be the first ones to refrain what we are asking you to avoid. The Prophet ﷺ, once he commands the companions to do something, he used to do it the first one. And this is a tool for success in da'wah. If you want people to respond to you, be the first one to do it. But if you ask people to do things and you yourself, you are not doing them, they will not listen to you. Okay, we'll stop here, inshallah. This is the end of our session. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Nabi Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in.